Hi everyone, and welcome to Wisdom and Wonder. I'm your host, Ann Jan, and this is where we explore ideas with curiosity and an open mind. Today on the show, we're so excited to have Melinda Estabrooks with us. Melinda is the host, executive producer, showrunner of the talk show See, Hear, Love. She has worked in media and journalism for 15 years. She has a passion for connecting with women and hearing their stories and empowering them. So welcome, Melinda. Thank you so much for being here.
And thank you so much for having me. I love these kinds of conversations and meeting new people. So this is just a great opportunity and a way of connection for the two of us, getting to know one another as well. So thank you so much.
I'm just going to jump into the first question here, which is, I saw you years ago. You did, I think it was a show with, what is her name? She wrote a book about gratitude. I believe it was, she's really well known.
Oh my goodness.
It was Anne Voskamp.
Anne Voskamp.
Yes, Anne Voskamp. So I was there. I actually was in the audience for that, I think, for that show. And so, but I've watched different things of you through the years because I feel like, you know, it's the Christian community, it's a small world. And so, yeah, I'm grateful for what you've been working on.
Thank you.
And I've admired the way that you have overcome life challenges. I think, you know, you had a divorce happen while in the spotlight. That cannot be easy. I cannot even, I can imagine how difficult that was. So I just kind of wanted to like maybe go through some of the ways that you've overcome challenges as like the theme for us today. It's trying to talk about like hope. How do we, you know, have hope in these challenging times, like in our life, because life is really hard. So the older you get, almost like the more that is affirmed.
Absolutely.
So
what would you like? There's many challenges. So and where would you like to start with that?
Yeah. So maybe just like tell us about how you had the courage to sort of like tell people that story so vulnerably to like your audience. Like that is so personal and navigating that. Like just tell us about how that process went for you. How did you do that?
Mm-hmm. So I'll start with the lead up. So, you know, I think in all honesty and vulnerability, you know, our marriage was hard. I think when I talk to people about getting married, you know, there is a necessary conversation about values and alignment, expectations, family of origin, how you deal with conflict, how you deal with finances, how you are seeing your life for the future together. And, you know, as I have more time outside of the marriage, I don't think that we were as intentional as we should have been in our conversations, in the way that we communicated or didn't communicate. And it was difficult, but I'll be honest, Anne, I didn't think that it would end in a divorce. And so when it came about and my husband at the time said, I don't want to be married to you, that's so difficult to hear. I think all the abandonment and rejection and shame and embarrassment come flooding in. And yes, I was a co-host of a women's talk show then, not See Hear Love, it was called Full Circle, on one of Canada's premier daily Christian shows called 100 Huntley Street. And we were the Friday edition of this. And we were on global television. We were on Yes TV. It was public. And my ex-husband at the time had been on the show. People knew my husband and I because we were part of the church community. We were leading a small group. You know, we were known in our community. And then this happens. And to be honest, I hid away. It was very difficult for me because I think I was shouldering and feeling all the weight of the shame of how can I, as a Christian woman in ministry, speaking across Canada, sharing about life with Jesus and it's good and it's whole and it's healthy, be going through a separation and divorce. So imagine all the feelings I had that I was carrying within me, feeling all these things. And so, you know, you've asked when I had to tell the audience about my marriage, when I had to kind of reveal it. It was awful. It was awful. You know, at the time, the producers and leadership of the show felt that it was important that I share it publicly that I was going through a divorce. And that was a moment I'll never forget. I sat on the sofa. I had many people praying for me. And I told basically the world that my husband had left. And I was feeling all of the, what are people going to think of me? People are going to think that I shouldn't, I'm not worthy to sit on a Christian show. They're going to assume things about me. And yet, I was really well supported. I had co-hosts. I had people praying for me. I had a great Christian therapist, a great church community, a great community of girlfriends and small group that were rooting for me and had my back. So even if I was decimated and I was going to be kicked off the show and people would, you know, give me a big scarlet letter on me, I knew that I would be okay. But I still was scared. I still was really nervous about what people would think of me. And yet it was sort of this strange, like, you know, and but, or like the tension of sort of this duality of the feelings. Like I was feeling all of this and yet I was still feeling hopeful and courageous and well-loved and yet full of shame, embarrassment, and all of that. So that's essentially, you know, how I felt. And then I shared it. And here's what's interesting, Anne. I shared it, you know, out to Canada, out on television, and the clip went viral on YouTube of me announcing my separation and divorce. And I thought I was going to get letters and phone calls of people like kicking me off the show and shaming me. But instead, hundreds of letters, emails, and Facebook messages came to me of people in ministry, leaders, everyday people saying, thank you for sharing that because here is my story. Mm-hmm. And I held these stories that were devastating of women and men being left, churches kicking them out, families even kicking them out, and not able to get jobs, people gossiping about them and saying to me, you know, thank you for being brave and courageous because I thought I was the only one in this kind of story and you kind of blew open the doors and opened it up that I'm not alone. That I would be able to get through this and even speaking it out, naming it in the sense of I'm naming out being abandoned and left, and yet I still feel hopeful for my future. Thank you. And I had hundreds of letters and in bags dumped on my desk. I was reading them letter after letter of people saying thank you for sharing. So it was a time. Yes. It was definitely a moment in my life of overcoming hardship and very publicly too.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful in the sense, like, obviously such a hard thing to do, but then the response, I think sometimes we're our own, you know, worst critic.
Yes, yes.
We think, yeah, we totally can be that way too, of just being like, you know, we have this shame and we're carrying shame that, you know, and God doesn't want that for us too, because you think about, yeah, like, God isn't shaming us and so much of, you know, and so I think sometimes we are like self-flagellating ourselves. And then when it even sometimes, I mean, there are options. Sometimes it happens where people are horrible on the internet. That's also a reality. But I think sometimes we're our own, like, yeah, like no one will get this. And then it's like, you know what? Lots of people have gone through this process and that in some way helps you. So I'm just like that. I'm proud of you in a way. I don't really know you, but I'm proud of you
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. What I've realized in my life as I've gotten older and in the work I do, you know, vulnerability is part of us becoming fully who Jesus wants us to be. Mm-hmm. Vulnerability and authenticity and openness is part of being human, becoming, I think, fully who you're meant to be, alive, and empathetic and understanding toward people. And so many people try to hide their true self because they're so afraid that they won't be accepted. And yet I've found the opposite, that when I've opened myself up, I've shared the hard things, hard stories, it's actually opened me up to new friendships and community and life as it's meant to be, and that people then connect with you. And you connect with other people and you help people and they help you and you learn together and you start seeing a life of flourishing and thriving because of vulnerability and openness, which is so funny because culture is always like, keep it away and look like you have it all together. And so then people will respect you. People will come to you. People will honor you. But it was really more of a sense of, I opened myself up and the opposite happened. And I saw myself be healed. And I saw so many other women and men be healed and start a journey of restoration, reconciliation, acceptance, and even a closer relationship with Jesus, because they knew that they needed to lean into him more through the crisis, you know, through the challenge. And I've seen that in my life, you know, for the past 50 years, I have seen, you know, God and community show up when I was the most vulnerable and open and at my lowest, show up for me. And it's a beautiful thing. I hope the people listening will have that opportunity to see God work through people and God work through our brokenness and challenge for an even more, life that is something that you could never dream or imagine.
Oh, that's like so inspiring. And I think that is something, like when I was thinking about what I was going to ask you about and talk to you about, there's so many things we could have talked about, but I think, you know, people often think like, oh, students, they're in this like really idealistic and like exciting part of life. But there is also so many, like, you're still experiencing the hardships of, you know, whether it be a breakup, if that's your marriage, that's huge. But even if it's like a breakup for the first time, the person you really thought you were going to be with, or, you know, you're applying for all these jobs and you keep getting rejected and you're like, oh my goodness, like I'm just straight out of school, or I'm like even a summer job. Or like, you know, lots of people have experienced loved ones like passing away and like all of these really crazy things that have happened to people, even though they're still in their early 20s. Like, I mean, I'm not. I'm a mature student, so I've seen more of, like, I would say probably than some people in terms of hardship. But who knows, right? Like, you don't know people's story, and we're all experiencing hardship even if we're young. And I think it's people kind of like, oh, young people, they're just so full of hope. I'm like, yeah, but they also are really struggling sometimes too. And I want to speak to that. Yeah. So, yeah, the next question, is kind of about that. Like, sort of like, how do you, like, in your life, you've had a lot of setbacks, because there's not, like, no one has not had a lot of setbacks in life. So how do you, like, hold on to hope? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. You know, when I look back at my life, Anne, I know this sounds so simple, but I, every day, go look in the mirror, and I say to myself, I am here. I have made it. Like, being, you know, when I celebrated my 50th birthday last year with my 50th closest girlfriends, I stood in front of them and I said, I am here. And it actually makes me emotional, because for all the things that I have gone through, to be standing here was huge. It was like a miracle. It was because I failed and I got up. It was because of challenges. It was because of resilience. It was because of choosing. It was because of girlfriends picking me up and throwing me in the shower when I was depressed. But I celebrated with my friends that I was here. And I remember thinking back when I'm thinking about my divorce, and I was packing up my house and I was in a fetal position on the floor, and I could not believe the devastation of being literally left and abandoned, and my heart broken in so many ways. And my best friend, Marcia, was folding my clothes and helping me pack up the house. And I'm sobbing, and I'm just like, I can't do it. And she looked at me and she goes, yes, you can. And here's the truth. Today is not your forever. Hard stop. And I look at her. She goes, today is not your forever. This is not your forever, Melinda. You're going to get through this. We're going to be here for you. God has always been with you. And it reminded me of my favorite life verse that, you know, my little friend Carrie shared with me when we were in the Philippines, because my parents were missionaries. I was adopted in the Philippines. And so I grew up in the Philippines and Singapore. And my parents were missionaries. And my little friend Carrie said to me, I think this would be a good life verse for you. And I think we were like in kindergarten or grade one. And it was this verse. It was Isaiah 41:10. And it was, do not fear, for I, God, am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I'm your God, and I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I have lived in that verse within it, around it, through it. When I'm afraid, when everything, doors have been like shut, when I've gone through my like 8 months of dark night of soul depression, when I was a prodigal daughter and running far away and trying to escape all of my pain through clubs and drinking and getting drunk and men, I always knew that God was with me and I wasn't to fear. And so I always feel that, you know, how I hold on to hope, I think, you know, I know this sounds cliche and very Sunday school, but memorizing verses or singing songs that have verses have really helped me to get through. I think there's a couple things about holding on to hope is that I have, again, a community that speaks hope for me when I can't. And I've really had to cultivate that. Like, I really struggled with having girlfriends when I was younger. I always felt that they were threatened or jealous or mean, and they were mean girls to me. And so I never wanted to have girlfriends. But I've realized as I've gotten older that girlfriends are the ones who have really been with me. When I've really prayed, God, help me get a tribe, women who've got my back, they're the ones who have prayed for me, helped me in any time I was down or I failed. They were the ones who held on to hope when I couldn't and spoke hope for me. I, like I said, the scriptures have helped me. And I think that there, for me, there's just been an acknowledgement of like, I am here and I've made it. Now that I'm on the other side of things, I'm like looking back and going, wow, like I actually have made it and I'm stronger. And I think that's part of it too. I know students are younger and I'm kind of on the other side where I'm at an older age. And when I look back at my life, I'm like, wow, I've seen the answer to prayer so many times in my life. But I think holding on to hope is looking at yourself and going, I'm here today. What am I going to do today that, you know, is going to be kind and loving to the person I meet today? How am I going to be kind and loving to myself? And then knowing that God's spirit is in us and working in us and giving us all that we need. Like I think about 2 Timothy 1:7, that's, I know we all say, but God didn't give us a spirit of, you know, fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And when I think of power, I'm like, wow, power to like push through hard things, power to speak truth over things, over my own life, and to not give into the lies or fears, you know, a spirit of love for myself and others, and then a spirit of a sound mind, wisdom, and guidance in your life. So I know I've run on and said that, but those are the things that I've really done to say, to hold on to hope, are those different things in my life where I'm now here and I'm like, wow, like I've made it and I have scars and I have regrets and I have things, but God has just been a God who's like, I'm with you. It's our story, Melinda, not just your story, but it's our story together. And I celebrate being here today. So. Yeah. God who sees. Yes. Wow. You know, and I think too, like I say this to parents or anybody that's like older, but the other also part of why I'm where I am is just the prayers of my parents and the prayers of the community. Like they didn't stop praying for me. They didn't stop hoping that I would come home. They didn't stop hoping that I would get through this depression. They didn't stop hoping that, you know, the dreams that I had that failed or ended would, I, you know, my passions and giftings wouldn't come alive sometime. And so that's why, you know, I'm always really big on, you know, you're not to do life alone. You can't do life alone. You can't isolate yourself and just be like, I'm introverted. I don't like people. I'm just going to be by myself. It's not going to work for you. I don't even care if you're introverted or, you know, and I have an introverted husband and kids, and I'm just like, no, you have to have people. Like, even if I'm not talking like, you know, 100, I'm talking 1, 2, 3 even, that know you, that you'll be open to, that you can call, that they can, you know, you can be with, that are going to really support you. And I've really cultivated over my life, like, really good friendships. I have a lot of girlfriends in different parts of my life, in the work that I do, in very like sacred spaces where I trust, for fun, for adventure, for, you know, not-for-profit world, for media world, for leadership world. Like, I'm very intentional, Anne, about groups of women that I connect with that really give into my life. I learn from. And when I'm like desperate, I'm like, you know, prayer text, here's my 10, here's the prayers. And they just are like, I'm praying. We got you. You're covered. We got you. We got your back. Like, I can't imagine life without that. And so that's a huge thing that I say to encourage people, like, get your people and pray, go to a church, be really intentional. I went after my mentor. I went after certain women too in my life to say, I'm looking at them as older women I could learn from. And I went after them. I phoned them up. I went to their talks and talked to them. And one of the mentors that I connected with in my early 20s is still my mentor today. Wow. Is still my mentor today. And that was my early 20s. I went after her. She was speaking at a church. And I'm like, I want her to be my friend and mentor. And I went by myself. I drove over to the church. And I waited in line. And I waited to talk to her. And I said, would there ever be a time I could take you out for lunch and just talk to you? And after that lunch, she looked at me. She said, I think God's connected us. Let's do a prayer walk around this city, which was hilarious. I loved it. And then she's like, I think I want to be your mentor. Wow. And that was it. 30 years later, she still is. And she's been a lifeline in my ministry, in my vocation, in my work, in my life. And so I would just encourage, you know, that's really important for you to be very intentional about finding those people for your life.
Yeah, that's good. I'm like, I want to go find mentors now. Because I think
amazing. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's something that I actually have been, like, I mean, I have a really good friend group. I have a good church. I have a lot of people that love me, and I feel like I'm connected to community. But I think that's something that I have been, like, even as I think about myself and where I am in my career, like, I'm restarting, there's a level of, like, all of that, of, like, how do I want someone who's also, like, has the same values that I do and mm-hmm. wants to be led by the Spirit, and where it's, like, mm-hmm. and so I think there's pieces where that, like, I also have that, too, of, like, I need to find someone that's, you know, kind of gets it, because it's, yeah, I think there's that, of and really vibes with you, too, because I think sometimes with mentors, it's like, it's a connection that's like on many levels, and you just get each other. You know, I think like, yeah. It's like friendship. You just kind of know, you're yeah. this is going to be my person, and you just, and then it is, like, often.
Yeah. And, you know, the other part too is I'm encouraging women that are older to open themselves up to be mentors to younger women. Like, there's sort of a relationship there. It's like, there are people who need mentors, and we need, as older women, mature women, fun women, I call us, to also give in to, you know, our time and our energies and relationship to younger women as well. Because honestly, I've had so many great mentors in my life. And I really believe that's a big part of why I'm where I am today, you know, in all areas. And so I think that's, I'm glad, Anne, that you say that, because I think it's really important that we all have that person. And sometimes it takes a while. And other times it's an immediate connection. So I really prayed about it, and then I was just courageous and went for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just literally got in the car and went for it. So yeah. However you want to do it, I would say go for it. Just find a mentor, find somebody that you can mm-hmm. connect with and learn from and do life with.
And I think that's the point that you made about courage is really interesting, because I think that is something that I have had to lean into as I've gotten older. More and more. And so, like, even like, so I started this podcast, and it's, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I have no idea I don't really know where it's going to go either. There's a part of me that's like, I don't know. I just was like, I really want to do this. I'm interested in doing it. And so I actually had someone from another university actually reached out to me and was like, I want to interview you. And she was like, I'm interested in starting a podcast. And I was like, just do it. Like, mm-hmm. you can find the resources, you know, maybe it's not going to grow to this giant thing, but like, you will still learn. It's not wasted time. It's kind of just like taking a shot. And maybe some of those shots that you take in life, you won't make it. And that won't be your shot. But you still are going to, it's going to help you. Then you can like, it's almost like a muscle. Like every time that I take a giant, like I'm like a leap. Right. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. This could just fall on its face. But then when you do, and every time I just feel like it still has like taught me, even the times where things didn't work out, I'm like, actually, this isn't going to work. And this, that, and the other, like, I still feel like you can be proud of yourself for like taking the step, because that's honestly like almost the hardest part. Because you can talk yourself out of anything. That's how I see it too, right? You're like, oh, well. Yeah. No, so you've had that too, right? Like you've had to take a lot of big steps like in your life mm-hmm. of being courageous. So like, could you maybe like, I'm sorry, I'm going off script, but yeah, if there's a few that you were like, this was like, I felt this is a, like, how did you discern that this was a step you needed to take? Or yeah, like, could you maybe mm-hmm. speak into that a little bit?
So you mean taking courageous steps yeah. toward something?
Yeah.
Okay. So one, you know, obvious one, I'll do two. One was the launch of my show, See Her Love. So I was on, you know, earlier I talked about the women's show that I was on. That ended. And it was heartbreaking because it was like 7 years of women talking around a couch. And as soon as it ended, it was like God said, Melinda, you need to continue this on. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. I'm just like a co-host. I don't know how to produce something. And there was a real sense of starting it as a web show to reach the next generation, because I'm a Gen Xer, to reach the next generation called the millennials. And I'm like, I don't know how to do a web show. Like, what do I do? And I honestly felt God say, I'll be with you. Just start. So I started like a website, and I asked a girlfriend to help me, and she did. And I didn't know how to do this. And I was just like, what do I do? And it was really interesting because as soon as I said, what do I do? But I really sensed that God was doing this. People started coming to me to help me, like pro bono. I'll help you, Melinda. I believe in the vision. I believe what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I'll just help you for free. And I was like, what? Because I had no money. And I had this great idea, and I wrote a 16-page paper. And I pitched it to, you know, a organization that at that time was different leadership. I actually pitched it to Crossroads, which is where I am at now. But it was different leadership. And I worked really hard. I got a website going. I had the plan. And I, like I said, 16-page paper. And I gave it to the leadership. And I was just by myself. I had never pitched anything before. And the leadership said, no. We don't think this is a good idea. We're going to do something different. It's a hard no. And I was like, and I was devastated because I really felt, I heard God's voice. I worked like a year on my own time, working at it, writing it, paying for the website, figuring out the domain, everything. And it was a no. And I left the boardroom and I was trying not to cry. And I got out of the building and I was calling my girlfriend, and she's like, meet me. You know, I said, meet me, because it's not good news. And so she met me on the beach near my house, and she had a blanket, and I got on the blanket and I burst into tears because there was a couple things. I thought that I hadn't heard from God. I thought that my pitch wasn't good. I thought maybe it's a really bad idea to launch a women's web show. Who am I to do this when I don't know how to do it? And I'm like, you know, I honestly, for the first time, I was like, I might have missed it. I might have missed the entire, like, listening to God for this idea. And as I was sitting on the blanket on the beach, my girlfriend's just like, Melinda, man's no can be no, but that could mean a not yet from God. And I said, what? And she goes, they could say no, but if you know, without a shadow of a doubt and deep within your like bones that this is a yes, then trust that. But maybe it's just not yet. Hmm. And Anne, it took 3 years for me to sit on that. 3 years from when I pitched it, 3 long years. And I believe so much that this was a God thing. And so I went into different jobs, different things. And then this is what's awesome. My mentor, who I talked about just earlier, she became the CEO of the organization. And I didn't know that was going to happen. And so as soon as I found out she was CEO, it was like God kind of like poked me and said, go pitch it to her. So I phoned her up and she said, you have 45 minutes, meet me at Starbucks. You have 45 minutes to pitch it. I pitched it to her. She looked at me and said, I need you to raise like $100,000 in 2 weeks. So I know that you're serious about this. And I'm like, that's a lot of money. She's like, go for it. So for 2 weeks, I found money. I got like something like $75,000 in promissory donations, came back to her and said, I only have 75. She goes, I was kind of joking. I didn't think you would actually get 100 and you got 75. And within weeks, I was doing the web show in a small studio, just doing a web show. And within about 2 years, a year and a half, I was asked to be on it to become a TV show. And then it was a podcast and a radio show and a YouTube show. And now we're in our 9th season. We finished our 9th season, going into our 10th season. And we're all across Canada on multiple platforms. And because we're on apps and on YouTube, we're all around the world. And so in 8 years, this dream I had that had a no, that I had to wait 3 years for it to come to fruition, is now where it's at 8 years later. And I just believe that God was all over that. I also believe that in the 3 years, that waiting, God was refining me, was refining my character, was bringing some right people in my way for the show. And so sometimes when it's a no from man, it's a not yet, because God's going to do a few things and then make it work. And how cool it was for my mentor to then be the one to say yes to me and bring me into the organization that said no to me, and I'm still here. So you want to talk about redemption, restoration, opportunity, waiting, patience, building resilience. There it is. And here I am. The host, executive producer of See Her Love, and like going into season 10.
Yeah.
I laugh sometimes because it's so funny. I like laugh. I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. And then God's like, of course, Melinda, like, yeah. Mm. And so it's really humbling and exciting. I love my team. I love amplifying diverse women's voices across Canada, sharing their story of faith. I'm in awe that I sit in a studio with cameras, and my job, Anne, is just to share a story like what you're doing. Mm. And that's totally God. I could not have manufactured or made that. But there was waiting and challenge, and I thought I failed, and then I was second-guessing myself. And God just says, be faithful. 3 years, I'm going to have you do all these other things. And in the 3 years, Anne, the jobs I was doing was actually building into more of me becoming a better connector, storyteller, facilitator, a leader. And then in the 3 years, it was like, okay, here's the opportunity. So it's a wild story. It's such a God story. Yes. Completely.
Mm. It reminds me of like that story, because we just I was just listening to a sermon recently about Joseph, and right, how he was in prison. And he was like, did God forget about me? Like, what's happening? I'm in prison, you know? Like, it's like this dream. He had this dream of what he saw. And he was like, yeah. And then, like, his whole life fell apart. He was in prison. Like, he was like, I'm never going to, like, he had probably, I don't know if he had given up, but I was like, if I was in prison, I probably would have been like, it's probably not going to happen. But then I think that's like, and it's funny that you say that, because today, actually, I got an email about a job that I applied for and I didn't get. And it was like, oh, I felt like this would have been a good fit, and like for these X, Y reasons, and you know, and thinking like, because I'm in this unique position too, as like a mature student who's also like, I'm trying to simultaneously go to school, work, okay. I have 3 kids, like, you know, my life is full. And so it's this tricky place where I'm like, I want to find work, but I also need to, you know, I want to finish my education. So I kind of was like, I found this perfect thing, and I was like praying about it, and I was like, I felt like I was like, I'm going to apply. And I was like, I told all my friends to apply, like, pray for me, and then it didn't happen. And they were like, no. And I was like, and then as I was crying this morning in my van, because I read that email, I was like, okay. Like, I felt like God's voice was, like, speaking to me. And in that, he was like, trust me, I have something better. And I was like, how could this was perfect? It was exactly what I wanted. Like, you're just raging. Because you think, you're like, you know, but this seemed like my own. And then in my mind, I was like, okay, like, I need to submit to that because, like, I don't know the future. Like, I don't know what will happen. And I need to trust that, like, God knows the future. He understands where I'm going to be in this many years. So
right.
I can trust that. But I think in our own, like, this looks on paper to be perfect and it would totally tick all these boxes. Great. You know, we'll go for this. And it's like, maybe that's not what God needs you to learn or do. And yeah, it's humbling though. It's very humbling.
Yeah. And I think too, and I say this, and not to be controversial, but I think sometimes in Christian culture, we've created like, it's the one thing. Mm. Like, it's this one job. It's this one vocation. It's this one focus. You know, there's the perfect person for you. Just he's and she's there. Which puts a lot of pressure on people. I'm just saying, like, we've created this and we need to be careful because I have learned that, yeah, you know, does it feel like the second choice? Yeah, but it's like, what are you then going to do with it? Like, I have found, and I'm going to say this now, so to take people, like, the pressure off, like, you're called to love God and love others. So no matter what, if it's third, fourth, fifth, a different job, a different scenario, not what you want, the call for you is to love God and others, to serve in the way. So any opportunity is the first opportunity. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like, and I've seen this because so many of my girlfriends have had stress, depression, anxiety over getting it right every time. And it's not that. Like, I got to have the right job and the right school and everything's got to be right and the first. And I've found that in the detours, in the decisions, in the no's, that God just goes, okay, well, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with this opportunity? What are you going to do with this? And there's a lot of freedom because then I'm like, oh, so no matter what decision happens or where I go, I'll continue to love and serve. I'll love others and love God. And then I'm like open to all these adventures and people and new things and new jobs I never thought. And I'm not so uptight about getting it right and perfect and that it's this path. That's not life. Life in all of its fullness and goodness and the least expected. And I think that's where the beauty and adventure of life lies. Because if you're trying to be the person where everything is lining up, it's not going to work for you. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be like so stuck in your ways to make it that. And then you miss out on the beauty of the journey along the way. And so, you know, and you didn't get this job, so then you're going to get another one. And in that job, you're going to meet some interesting and new people that you can love on, that you can inspire. And that job may lead you to something else that the other job couldn't. Like, that's, I think just living this open-handed way, trusting Jesus, God, and the Spirit to guide you and lead you in all the ways that you should. And, you know, I've just sort of been in that space a lot where I'm like, okay, that didn't work. Okay, now I'm here. All right, God, where do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to love? Who do you want me to speak to with kindness? Where do you want me to go? And I'm telling you, Anne, the adventures and where I am and where I've come has been like, whoa. I could never have planned this better. Because I've just allowed God to be like, okay, are you ready for me and you to do this relationship in a very, you know, like, open and trusting way? And I'm like, okay, sure. And then here I am. So yeah. I think, you know, the door closes, it's a no, okay. And I'm disappointed, yes. All right, God, where do you have me go now? Wherever you take me, I'm ready, I'm available, and I'm open. So that's sort of a bit of advice of how I've been really living. And because what happens is that when we're so tied to that thing, we get disappointed over and over and over again. And then I find that the people I've met blame God, and then they're angry at God because that didn't happen, and then they're angry at the church, and then they're angry, like, and I'm like, stop being angry. You don't have time to be angry all the time, blaming it on God or other people. It's like, you know, live your life faithfully with hope, following Jesus, and then get ready for a life that, you know, is a life of love and service and community. So I think that's some of the best advice I can give from where I'm sitting now. I didn't know that when I was younger, but now I'm just like, because life is full of unexpected things happening all the time. Your heart will break. You won't get the job. There will be death and loss and grief. And there's a lot of sadness and pain and anxiety. And yet there's also beauty and love and joy and dancing and singing and bonfires and canoeing and all the beauty of the world that there is to offer. And I think in my relationship with God, that's the fullness of life. We experience all of it and remain faithful and close to Him, leaning in and just being led to be like, wherever you lead me, I'll go and I'll love. That's sort of like how my life is going right now.
So like, I feel like that was the question I was kind of going to ask you, but you kind of said it already of like, what advice would you give to your younger self? I think that's really,
I still have some points.
Okay. Cause I feel like that's the question that I'm.
First one. Yeah. So advice I would give to my younger self, what I mentioned before, you need community. You need to find a life-giving community, a community that supports you, where you're fun, where you cry and share, where you can be your authentic self. It may take time, but that should be the top of your prayer list, like a community that is life-giving, that is for you, that loves Jesus. You need that community. Second, I know I say this, but women are not your enemy. Stop feeling threatened or jealous of them. And women, we need to stop being threatened and jealous of others. Like, that was really hard. Like, all throughout my younger formative years, I had this issue with girlfriends. Like, I didn't trust them because I thought they were jealous or they were threatened. And I just have felt now that I can't do my life without good women. So if you have issues with women and you don't trust, then that's something that I would just really encourage to work through and find those women that can be your friends. Same as for guys. That's another podcast conversation, but I just, as a woman, saying that. The third, and I would say this, and this is just a reality for my own life, you can't escape yourself. And you, even when you try to fill your life with things, drugs, drinking, shopping, sex, or pleasures, you can't escape yourself. So you need to ask the question, how are you cultivating a life that you love or that's about becoming a person that you enjoy being with? I say this because when I went through my prodigal years, I didn't like myself, so I tried to escape myself. And I did all the things to try to escape, and they were destructive. But I didn't like who I was. I wanted to numb how I was feeling rather than face up to the truth of the feelings. And so I know as a young person, there's many ways that we escape. You know, sometimes it's extreme video gaming, and it's extreme this, this, and this, and this. But you need to come to a place where, do I like myself? And why can't I just be with myself without trying to fill it with other things to distract from what God is saying to me, from being with God? So I would say that's a big one, advice. Like, you can't escape yourself, so you need to go on the journey of understanding what don't you like about yourself and how to kind of get back to, oh, I love being with me. Fourth, I would figure out a way to get along with your parents. You know, and I regret that I lost a lot of years with my relationship with my parents. I regret the pain I put them through. And I regret not hanging out with them more. Now that they're older, they're in their 80s, you know, I love hanging out with them. It's so funny. I'm like, you know, wanting to, you know, hang out with them on the weekends and do things. But when I was younger, I always felt like, ah, my parents, and I'll have my parents forever. And I just feel, you know, for a young person, like if I was, somebody had said, you know, Mel, really figure out a better relationship with your parents, I wish I had done that. Fifth, don't blame God for everything, because many things happen because of bad decisions people made. So, excuse me, I'm one where when people are like blaming God for things, I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Somebody did that. Somebody made a poor decision. Don't blame God. and just don't, like, you know, like, stop going to church or stop connecting with God because somebody made a bad decision. I would say number six, go after your dreams. Fail and then get back up and try again. Go for it. If you're like, I want to write a book, I want to have a podcast, I want to try it, I would say try it. And if you fail or it doesn't work out, then at least you tried it. But the worst, I think, is to be on your deathbed and be like, oh, I didn't do that. Oh, I wish I had done that. Or I wish I'd had better relationships. Like, do it. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. And then finally, I know this is funny, make your bed in the morning. There is something about waking up and you make your bed. There's something physical and psychological. When you make your bed, it feels like you're ready for the day. You're not racing. You're not feeling rushed. You're making your bed so that you're preparing it for yourself for the night so you can have a good sleep. But I have found when you make your bed, it just does something in your mind space to clear yourself, to say, yeah, now I'm ready. And I'm readying myself for tonight. It's nice and clean. My mind, because a messy room, a messy house connects for me a messy mind and chaos. That just represents make your bed. Mm-hmm. And then the rest is like that. And then, I mean, obviously, you need Jesus. I mean, that's the final thing. I couldn't have done life without Jesus. My relationship with Jesus has been very close sometimes and then very far away. I talk to him a lot, you know, God, how are you doing? What's happening? I have a very, very close relationship with God in the way that I'm just talk with him and share my thoughts. And so I would say really pursue and spend the needed time with God in any way you can. I go on a silent retreat. I do retreats. I take off some days just to take a walk, to listen, to pray, to sing, do the work, and build into that relationship with Jesus. So those are what I would say is my advice for my younger self. I wish I'd heard that when I was younger, but I hope those help your listeners. But those are some of the things that I, you know, have lived with. And then again, like I mentioned, find a mentor. Find a mentor that can help give you perspective, can help lead you in areas, can be a good sounding board, can support you and pray for you, but find a mentor. And I think that's it.
Okay.
That's it, Anne. I hope that's enough. I hope those were enough.
No, that's like wonderful. Okay. So okay, well, thank you so much, Belinda, for coming on the show and being a part of just like, I just feel very inspired myself. I feel like a lot of the things that you said just, you know, resonated with me. So I appreciate so much you taking your time and just letting us kind of pick your brain about kind of maybe in the future, like where we're all, you know, we're all, I think we're earlier on in life and we're looking to be like, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How can I kind of find my way? And I think it's nice to hear from someone who has been, you know, further along on the path with Jesus. And like, that's always so beautiful. So I appreciate your words of wisdom.